morning, everyone.
Welcome to GCF East. May I ask everyone to stand as we read our call to worship passage found in Hebrews 12, 1-2. Let's read. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of our Lord. The Christian life is like a race of faith. This race is not just a 50-yard dash, but it is more like a marathon. A marathon which requires commitment and perseverance to keep pushing forward towards the goal. This is the race of our lives wherein we should never quit, but we keep on running. Running down to the last mile, running up to the very end as we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is our ultimate motivation and our best example of being faithful to the Father. So let us join our praise team in singing praises to our merciful, loving Father, and also to his ever-faithful Son, who is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the faith. Lord, we thank you for your living and enduring word through which we were born again by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of the saints. And most importantly, Lord, thank you for your faithful Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sins. Lord, as we worship you today, we ask for your grace and mercy. And Father, may you put in our hearts the desire to give you the worship that you truly seek. May you enable us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, we ask all of this. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, let's remember all the things that the Lord has given to us, what he has done for us, and all his mercies, grace, blessings, and let's magnify him together. To magnify the Lord is to make his name great, to make him known. There's a lot of ways to do it, and praising him is one way.
Mercies endure forever with a joyful
song and a mighty shout. Proclaim His name forever. Proclaim His name forever. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name forever. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us sing praises unto His name. Your voice and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. With your voice, be glad and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. With your voice and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. With your voice. With your voice and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. With your voice and rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name forever. Praises unto His name. Let us sing praises unto His name. Let us sing praises, sing praises, sing praises. Be glad and rejoice.
Why don't we give a clap offering to the Lord? Lord, thank you for reminding us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses as it was read to us from His Word. But then we need to ask ourselves, do we actually live a victorious life? Do people look at us and see that victorious life? Or when they look at us, do they see in us defeated? So we hope that you will listen to the lyrics of the song. This is a new one. And we'll try to sing the first and the chorus first. And then we'd like to invite everyone to sing along. We hope that the words will minister to all of us. The valley of vision. daytime there are stars in the heavens.
In the daytime there are stars in the heavens, but they only shine at night. So let me learn that my losses are my gain. To be broken is to heal. The devil is when your power is revealed. Let me find your grace in the valley. Let me find your life in my death. Joy in my sorrow, your wealth in my need, that you'll heal me every breath in the valley.
Let's say, let me find your joy.
Let me find your joy.
Thank you so much because you are always with us. You are Emmanuel. Help us to remember, Lord, that we are a city on a hill and that any light on a hill can be seen. Help us to mirror you. All of these things we ask in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. You may now be seated.
For our announcements, some reminders. Health safety protocols during worship service. Let us always remember the following safety protocols as we continue to gather in person here in our church. Always keep your face mask and face shield on and be mindful of physical distancing. If you have not done so, make sure to drop your contact tracing form after writing down your temperature in it in the designated drop box before leaving the premises. Kindly exit the sanctuary right after the service. If you must socialize, pick an area that is not congested and has free airflow. For your own safety, we encourage you to bring your own filled water bottles to church. Please make sure that the covers are secured so as to avoid cross-contamination. Water dispensers will not be available. Thank you for your understanding. In-person church service. Remember to always reserve a seat for in-person service each week. Only 100 seats are available on a first-text, first-serve basis. Once the 100 seats are filled up, you will be given priority for the following week. Only those ages 15 to 65 will be allowed. Text your name to the following cell phone numbers: 0922-246-1282 and 0915-703-3042. Please reserve early, preferably before Saturday, so we can prepare and contact the contact tracing form early on Saturday. Cancel your slot as soon as you know you are unable to make it so others can take your place. Online children's worship, Sunday worship. We would like to remind everyone that we have an online children's worship every Sunday. Videos are posted at 7 a.m. on GCF East Sunday School Facebook page. Encourage your children ages 15 and below to be part of this special time of worshiping the Lord. Ongoing membership class. If you have been attending this church and the Lord has been working in your heart to be part of the body of Christ here in GCF East, please see Pastor John so that he can include you in the ongoing class. Please be assured that Pastor John will get you to speed to catch up with the ongoing class. Young adults, YA ladies virtual Bible study. We are inviting all young adult ladies to join this virtual Bible study via Zoom every Saturday starting at 2 p.m. Right now, they are engaged in the study of the Gospel of John. To join or for more information, please call or text Sister Alay Persuelo at cell phone number 0916-912-0413 or Sister Cindy Dolormente at cell phone number 0927-163-8707. Saha Car Stickers. St. Anthony Homeowners Association car stickers are now available in the administration office. Please see Deacon Dennis Edu to purchase the car sticker for $150 each. Worshiping the Lord alongside with your brothers and sisters in Christ is a joyful experience. And it is also a joyful experience to meet and greet new faces. So if this is your first time here in our church, please stand so that we can acknowledge and welcome you. Anyone? Do we have any visitors from the right side? No one? Left side? Anyone from the center? Okay, so let's stand and extend our greetings to one another with a smile or with a wave or even with a bow as we sing our welcome song. You may be seated. For our offering, let's look at Luke 8:1-3. Let me read. Soon after, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. As believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that preaching the word of God is a noble task, because we know that this is the will of God. But let us also remind ourselves that giving for this cause is also a noble task, because this too is the will of God. So as an expression of our love to the Lord, let's offer our gifts to Him in thanksgiving, because we know and we understand that this giving is for His purposes. This is for the advancement of His kingdom. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the faith that comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. Lord, thank You so much for our pastors, for our elders, for our Bible teachers, and the missionaries, Lord, who faithfully preach Your word. O Father God, thank You for all Your blessings, Lord. We know the purpose, Lord, and we are happy to share what You have given us, Father. May You find us faithful, Lord, in giving, and may You be alone be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have been doing since we started meeting face-to-face, we request that you drop your offering to the offering box located near the entrance of the sanctuary. For those of you watching the live streaming of this service, you can still give your offering through the following methods. First is online bank transfer to Green Hills Christian Fellowship East Inc. BPI Peso account number 40910042-03. Second is online bank transfer to Green Hills Christian Fellowship East Inc. UCPB dollar savings account number 11152000636. Last is GCF East PayPal account. You can access at gcfeast.org/give/ in our church website. Thank you so much, and may God bless us all.
We were reminded that our faith comes from hearing the word of God. It comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. And so how appropriate that we will sing this song. May I please invite you to stand up so that we can sing this song together. The truth of the Lord is unchanged since the dawn of time.
Our eyes to see your mother.
ask the Lord to renew our minds.
Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time.
To listen to it, to hear, and to hear your word always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may all be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship celebration. We're in the home stretch of our series. So if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn your Bibles to Psalm 131. We're now in our 12th Psalm in this series of 15 songs. Psalm 131, 3 verses short. So in reverence for God's Word, may I ask everyone to please stand and read along as we ponder upon this beautiful section of Scripture. Psalm 131, a song of ascents of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may now take your seats. Pray with me. Lord, we ask that You would speak. Speak to our hearts, O God. With our Bibles open, with our hearts and minds captivated to the obedience of your word, we pray that you would minister to us your truth. We pray nothing less but your glory to be manifested and be displayed in this celebration. We dare not seek glory for ourselves, and so we pray that you would allow us to be humble. Humble enough, Lord, to listen. Humble enough, Lord, to obey your word. Allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that would come out of my mouth be pleasing to you. O Master, King, Savior, Lord, and Friend. Amen and amen. Again, magandang umaga sa inyo lahat. Ang lamig, no? It's been very, very cold. I mean, again, we are in the home stretch of our series on this 15 songs. Again, as a reminder for all of us, you may
need to be reminded always so that we would know the context of this beautiful song. This is part of a collection of 15 songs that the Jews sing. Diba? When they go up, ascent, when they go up to Jerusalem during the holy festivals. And so as we have been learning, these are songs that they sing to prepare their hearts to worship. A believer of God sings these songs, meditates on these songs, as these songs address various things in the believer's life. And we have been seeing, and as we've been looking at this beautiful collection of songs, we saw a clear pattern. There seems to be, not just seems, there is a pattern of five sets of threes. Diba? And we said, there are trials, trust, triumph, psalms. Trials, trust, triumph. The last time we were together, we looked at Psalm 130. And what we saw was a song of trust. It was very helpful, at least to my own soul, to my own heart, because we were taught by the Lord what we ought to be doing when we are in those seasons of sins, when we are in those pit. When we were last together, we looked at the expressions of a genuine believer when he or she is in a season of sin. Having seen that psalm of trust, Psalm 131 then is a psalm of triumph. Let me just say, I actually preached on this May 24 last year. I think I was wearing the same shirt. I checked it out this morning. I was wearing the same shirt. I did not intend to wear the same shirt, but... And when we were looking at that last year, I think I did a recording of that. I recorded that at home, and we entitled that message, the blessing of being content. Because that is indeed what we see as the main idea of this psalm. Back then, I never had any idea that we would be going through the songs of ascent. And now, 9 months later, we find ourselves looking at this wonderful psalms again. And let me just say, Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, said this about this psalm. He said, Psalm 131 is one of the shortest psalms to read, 3 verses short, but one of the longest to learn. With only 3 verses, it is indeed very short. Diba? Ang bilis nating basahin. But because of the richness that we can find in this psalm, it may take a while for us to fully learn to live this out, fully learn to embrace the timeless truths and principles in this wonderful song. And so I praise the Lord indeed that we can go back, that we can visit this psalm and learn from it. In fact, as I was preparing for this, I was so blessed and blown away as I was reading my old preaching, and this psalm once again ministered to my heart. In fact, I was in verse 3. Of course, tatlong verse lang naman yan eh. I was sobbing last night. I was like, wow, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of going back to your word and be able to minister to by your truth and have the privilege of relaying this to the congregation. And so, when I preached on this last May, we focus on contentment. That is the main idea. Because David has shown to us the blessings indeed of being content. And as you look at this psalm, we see David describing where he's at right now, his spiritual condition, how he has reached this maturity, this situation wherein he is content. There's calmness. There's peace. In his inner life, there is no anxiety at all. At that moment, there is no stress, no unrest, no distrust in God, but only humble, trusting faith in God's plan. We would not find David in the middle of it, but at the end of the process that he went through, as he describes for us, where he's at when he was writing this, completely and utterly quiet, full of unwavering faith, full of confidence in God. Even though, as we would see later on, as we would revisit the psalm, we know that he was in a situation, or he was then in a situation wherein it would be easy for him to not trust the Lord. It would be easy for him to question God. The situation that he was in then was very loud, very noisy. And dear ones, we know what happened. Since May until now, a lot has happened, hindi ba? To individuals, to families, to businesses, right? As a congregation, from moving from one quarantine level to another, some of us got sick. Some of us got so sick that some of our loved ones succumbed to this virus. Some of us got anxious with the contact tracing and all, di ba? So, from May up to now, we fed off each other's fears and anxiety. There has been a lot of noise from then till now. And you may be there right now. You may be anxious. You may be fearful right now. Because, dear ones, we struggle. We are still struggling, hindi ba? Because of the pandemic, because of this dreaded virus. Not to mention the newfound strains, di ba? Different strains. And that makes our hearts become more restless and more because of the noise amidst the pandemic. 2020 has been very exposing, at least for me. It has exposed a lot of sinful fears. It has expose a lot of struggles, challenges, hindi ba? I wanted for me to be like David in this psalm. Don't you? But what did he go through? Friends, of all the people in this world, believers ought not to be scared. Believers ought to be full of faith. And I'm speaking from someone who got scared as well, who consistently is being bombarded with anxiety and stresses. And again, I thank the Lord that in His providence we are now back to the psalm. And this psalm would teach us how to quiet our souls in noisy times. Here we see David in a season that would have caused unrest. Here is the leader of the nation. You need to understand, friends, he is the leader. So he would have seen a lot of disease, plague, famine, political turmoil, war, hindi ba? But yet here we see David describing for us what was going on in his heart, what was going on in his inner life. What we have here actually, three verses short, are descriptions. David is just describing for us where he's at. But his descriptions now becomes prescriptions for us. Why is that? Ano ba yung setting? What's the context? This song is to be sang by people going to the holy city. So therefore, they would be reminded. They would be singing truths in this song and to remind each other, hey, God is in control. Now, I know if we've looked at this before, and so let me spend more time in the preliminaries. Okay? Before we begin to look at each verse, let us go through some preliminaries that would be very helpful for our study. Look at your Bibles, three verses short. Did you notice that in the first two verses, again, there are just descriptions, right? No command. command will be found in verse 3. Right? So again, what we have here is that we are taken, if you will, inside the heart of hearts of this man who is after God's own heart. And we would see him praying. We would see him communicating to the Lord. Listen into David's prayer. Look at verse 1. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. Meaning he's not proud. My heart is not proud. My eyes are not raised too high. My eyes are not haughty. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, too difficult for me. Now, as those who are in the journey going to the holy city to worship God, it's a natural response. As they sing, as they look at the first verse of this song, they would probably say, is my heart proud? Are my eyes haughty? Am I involved in things too difficult for me? And so, dear ones, I would like to invite all of you to ask the same questions. Is my heart proud? Are my eyes lifted too high? Am I trying too hard to do things that are only reserved for God? Notice David's heart condition. Look at verse 2. But, or other translations say, surely, it is emphatic. David is like saying, heaven help me if this is not true about me. But I have, notice the past tense. No, I have calmed and quieted my soul. David is not speaking for things that he is in conquest or things that he is in pursuit of. He's gone through that already. He is describing for us the fruit of the struggle that he went through. He is now calm and quiet. He's not proud. He's not haughty. He's not trying to do things that are only reserved for God. He is at peace. And so the question that we need to ask, is my soul this calm? Is my spirit quiet? Then David gives us a metaphor, an illustration that is so profound. My soul, my inner heart is comparable like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. He was saying my inner life, after going through some process, after going through some struggles that have caused noise and turmoil and stress in my heart, the fruit of it is I'm like a child. It resembles the trust and confidence of a child who lays in his mother's arms, completely trusting that even though aning-weaning, the mother forbidding the child milk, diba? That even though, listen, God took away precious things from David, or perhaps God altered things in his life, he's no longer fighting back. He's at peace. And then, because of this, verse 3, we see his conviction to tell others about it. The command, O Israel, just like what I did, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And so, dear ones, I believe that is important to have a bird's eye view of this beautiful song for us to be receptive to the ministry of the truths in it. In this side of the cross, looking at the struggles that we've gone through, maybe you're going through some struggles right now. Don't you want to be like David? Diba? I do. I want to be like Him. Gusto ko yung ganon na very peaceful, trusting. We need to learn how to quiet our souls in these noisy times. I want you to have a good grasp of the context of this psalm before we go closer. Now, diba? Looking at how David describes for us what he is at, composed, peaceful, secured, trusting, tells us what? He was not like that before, right? He struggled as well, maybe just like you, as you're struggling right now. So what was the occasion? Ano yung setting? Let's imagine, what did David go through that is so noisy and struggling, but he went through that and we see the fruit. He's now peaceful and quiet and trusting. Well, we see the metaphor, diba? Weaning of a child. Mothers, we're here. We need to have context. In our culture, we think weaning is like 1 year old to 2 years old. Not in their context. Not in the Near Eastern context. Without the advancement of medicine, diba? Mortality rate for babies, for kids, are high. So therefore, a responsible mother, a responsible parent would make sure before niya palaalisin sa pagdede ng gatas, no? Before they are made sure that the kid would be strong enough, the weaning would last until 4 or 5 years old. Right? Now, when the child is ready, and I say child, did you know that they celebrate? In our culture, we have gender reveal parties, di ba? In their context, they have weaning parties. Look at Genesis 21. Weaning is a big thing for them. Genesis 21, verse 8. Talking about Isaac. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Right? So, again, remember the context. Remember the metaphor that we are trying to look into. Weaning for them is a time of celebration. It's a time wherein they would say the child is mature enough. He's ready. Definitely, he would be strong enough. Yet we also see and know the process that this child went through. Diba? There would be struggles when you try to wean a child. Diba? A baby would fight back. A baby would scratch. A baby would sob. A baby would shout. A baby would bite. And yet what we see here, David is saying, this child is not sleeping at all. Because he just got tired of fighting back. He is well awake, calm and quiet in his mother's loving arm, trusting, not fighting. So what was the process that David went through? As seen in the metaphor, it's when God took away something from him that he thinks is very precious for him, very important for him, or when God alters or changes his situation, it's uncomfortable for him already. Friends, that is exactly what ticks all of us off, right? That is exactly what we struggle with, diba? When we don't get what we want, or when God takes away things that are precious to us, or when God changes something in our lives that would be uncomfortable, and that gives us displeasure. Maybe you're here right now saying, God, why did you take this away from me? God, why did I lose my job? God, why are you changing my situation? Lord, why are you taking this? I'm very good at that. When God takes away precious things or persons from us or changes our situation, do we fight back? I don't know about you. I know I do. Many times I do. Why are you doing this, Lord? When God's divine providences makes an impact on your life, do you complain? You would say, Pastor, I never do that. Well, friend, your life speaks a different sermon the moment we stop trusting the Lord when He takes away things or people from us, or when He alters things and disrupts our comfort. So ulitin ko, let me ask you, has the Lord taken away something precious to you? Or has He changed things in your life? Are you proud? Are you giving Him the look? Are you trying to meddle with things that's only reserved for God? I pray that this song would help us quiet down our restless souls. We see three prescriptions to quiet our restless souls. We need to learn to humble ourselves before God. We need to learn to hush before the Lord. We need to learn to hope in the Lord. Look at verse 1 again. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. David claimed that after he went through the weaning process, it was very difficult for him. He has learned his lesson. So with regards to questioning God, David says he's no longer proud. David is no longer proud. We need to be very, very careful. Kasi as we read this, we would say, ang yabang naman ni David. No, the context points us. He went through the process. He went through the struggles. And he learned his lesson that he can trust God. That God is God, not him. And so he said, I'm not proud. Let's go to another psalm for us to understand what David is saying. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That is what we have here. David, willing to present his heart to Yahweh, the one who knows the heart. Lord, my heart. David understands that the heart is deceitful of all. Therefore, he asked God to search his heart. And as he went through the struggle, he now says, Lord, my heart is not lifted up. How did he go there? We don't know. It's not explicit in this psalm. 3 verses nga lang eh. Let's go to another psalm by David. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. David assessed his heart. David was ministered to by God's word. It is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through the written revelation, that he is able to trust God. He is able to be saying, I'm not proud, I'm not haughty. Saan nagsimula si David? Sa heart. And if you would look at the list here, pride, arrogance, all matters of the heart. Diba? So the assessment is spot on. We need God's word to know God and to know his heart. David goes on saying, Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. What do we see here? If he's not proud, if his eyes are not raised up, then therefore David is actually humbling himself here. Diba? David has learned his lesson to humble himself before God. He is describing his heart. He is describing his eyes, the window to our souls. Again, this is not altogether saying that David is like this in all dimensions of life. He is just sharing that he now trusts the Lord after going through some hard times. With regards to the weaning process, Lord, with regards to the struggling times that I went through, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not raised too high. Ano yung haughty eyes? What does that mean? Parents, have you, I'm pretty sure you have, you ask your child, make your bed, or you ask your child, give me the gadget, clean up, and then they would give you the look. That's haughty eyes. Right? It's like saying, why are you even bothering me? This is sobering, diba? Very sobering. It's so easy for us to blatantly question God when things are difficult. It's so easy for us to give him the eyes when we're uncomfortable. Let me read to you an article that David Paulison wrote, Peace Be Still, Learning Psalm 131 by Heart. Here's what he said, describing the heart of a proud man. Kindly assess if you would hear the same in your hearts. And I quote, I just want a little respect. Appreciation. Of course, I want the home appliances to work and the car mechanic to be honest. That's normal. I want approval and understanding to be included. Is that too much to ask? I want satisfaction. I want compensation for the ways others did me wrong. If others would just own up and then treat me right. I don't want much. If only I had better health. A little more money, a more meaningful job, nicer clothes, and a restful vacation, then I'd be satisfied. I want a measure of success as well. Just a bit of recognition. As an athlete, a beauty, an intellectual, a musician, a leader, a mother. I want control. Who doesn't? Comfort, ease, convenience. Why not? I want to feel good. Doesn't God want me to feel good? I want to feel good about myself, to have more self-confidence, to believe in myself. I want my way. I want the goodies. I want glory. I want God to do my will. I want to be God. David learned that he was putting himself as God as he complained, as he gives the Lord the haughty eye. But now, look at verse 1 again. You see that last phrase? I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous or too difficult for me. That's very interesting language. They're actually painful when we look at our own hearts. From my heart that is not lifted up against God, from the eyes that are not raised too high, from that posture, David says, I do not occupy myself with things. That word occupy means busy yourself. It has a picture of a hamster in that endless wheel, takbo ng takbo, no ending, unless he stops. It is obsessing over something. Again, this is talking about the heart posture, okay? When God takes away something or when God changes something in your life. Implied, David was not like this before, but here he is now. He has learned to humble himself before the Lord. We are guilty of this, friends. We are so busy with trying to do things that are reserved for God. And at times, they are well-meaning things. Like, you want your husband or your wife to be saved. You want your kids to do well. What's the driving force? Love. Because you love your spouse so much, you want them to be saved. Because you love your kids so much, you want them to do well. Beloved, we need to be aware that in a sense of looking at that desire, there's pride in there somewhere. I need my husband, I need my wife to be saved. What for? Yes, it's because of love, but perhaps because you want to be comfortable, you want to have convenience. I'm not saying we should not be praying for our loved ones to be saved. I'm all for praying for them. But dear ones, we have no power over that. We can just live out the gospel. We should be raising kids in a godly manner. But oftentimes we go beyond the border thinking that it's up to us. Obsessing too much on that. Don't you have those times when you look at your situation? Sana wala na lang COVID. I love that. I would want that. But what if in God's grand scheme, He allowed this to happen? I always say this. If there was a better place for us to be at, God's providential care would have taken us there. We're here. Rather than complain, just trust Him. Sabi ni David, after going through the struggle, he's now humble. My heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not occupy myself with things that are too great for me, too marvelous for me. David has learned this lesson. Friends, we try to ask God for explanations. Like when a baby dies, that's painful. When a loved one dies, I understand that. But at times we don't need explanation. At times God leaves us there without no explanation at all. Because God does not owe us any explanation. All we have are His promises. Diba? And so, dear ones, the struggling times are opportunities for us to be more like Christ. So it is indeed good. So it is indeed needed for us to go through. David trusted in God's promises. So should we. At times when we demand explanation from God, most of the times He does not do that. What we have is His Word. Dwell in His Word. Embrace His promises in Christ. Then and only then can we be like David, who has humbled himself before the Lord. Look at verse 2. Aside from learning how to humble ourselves before God, we also need to learn how to hush before God. But in contrast to what he discussed in verse 1, again, other, surely, it's emphatic, meaning these are things he was firm on, these are the truth. Instead of involving myself on things too great for me, on matters too wonderful for me, in matters that are only reserved for God, David said, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Yung salitang calmed or composed has the picture of leveling or flattening something. A farmer, before he begins to work on his field, he needs to level the field. A builder, diba? A construction builder, when he begins working, he needs to flatten the ground. So think about the work that is entailed for the farmer, for the builder. They level the ground. That is a picture there. To still and level the soul. To smoothen out the roughness of your soul, if you will. And then he goes on to say, I have quieted my soul. It means to silence the noise. As calming is for turbulence, quieting is for the noise. What are the noises that we have around us? Fears, anxieties, agendas, complaints. David says, I have bulldozed my soul. I have made it smooth. No more bumps. This is a picture of submission, dear ones. I can't change my wayward child. I can't bring back my departed husband. I can't save my unbelieving spouse. And to think that you can, that would be proud of us. Because you see, if there's no calmness, no peace in your soul, we can go back to verse 1 and we would be found to be proud. We would be found to be looking at God with that haughty look. We are anxious at times because we think we can do better than what God is doing right now. And that is involving ourselves too much with things that are only reserved for God. And so what did David do? I mowed my soul flat. Friends, this is not a picture of resignation. This is a picture of submission. Then he goes on and gives to us that beautiful picture of weaning a child. Again, in the ancient Near East, children were not weaned until 5 years old. Look at Hannah. She gave Samuel up when he was a child, right? Hindi baby. I was just wondering, why do we read like a weaned child? Why did David say like a sleeping child? Kasi nga, if we go to sleeping child, we could just mistake that as someone who struggled and got tired and now sleeping. No. He went through the process. Let us discuss the weaning process. Depriving a toddler of something that is good. Diba? Milk. Something that is nourishing. Something that gives them comfort and pleasure. But doing that for something better. Solid food. Better nutrition. Better taste. Diba? But a child does not know that was the intention of the mother. So when you wean a child, the child is confused. Diba? The child is distress, the child is sad, the child is angry, the child is thinking that his mother is evil. And at times we feel that way about God. Friends, you need to understand I'm here as someone who is going through this struggle as well. This is preaching to the heart. To this child, the mother is cruel. The mother is unkind. The mother is neglectful. The mother all of a sudden is saying no to something that he was used to. But mommy is wise. And she knows that it's time for the baby to move to better food. But the baby doesn't know that. But the mommy is doing that because of love. What if God takes away your health? What if God takes away your husband, your wife? What if God takes away your job? And God has done that to some of us, diba? Take away something or make us wait? We at times don't understand, diba? We cannot understand. At times we get mad. But friends, let me remind you, as you search scripture, from cover to cover, we would see that God is infinitely, eternally, and faithfully good. So we should trust Him. All we need to do is trust Him. Like a weaned child who is already weaned, went through the process, he's now still. He's no longer fussing anymore. All we see is trust. Trust in the love and care of his mother. Friends, we need to be childlike, not childish. Okay? We need to be childlike. Like a child who has finished crying, but now has submitted to his mom. David says, someone who has leveled his soul, someone who has quieted the noise, is someone who has submitted to the love and care and the goodness of God. I pray, dear ones, whatever you're going through, at times we can't understand. At times it's actually good. Diba? Why do you need to take away my ministry, Lord? Let me share something with you. And this is in the past, okay? Don't take this against me. I ministered for 9 years in Tagumpay. And when the door to minister to GCF is opened, I did not want that. I was already comfortable at Tagumpay. Although it's a poor community, I was so comfortable there. And I was so struggling, and I was just bargaining. Lord, this is a poor community. But after struggling, I saw that I just needed to submit. I don't know what you're going through, dear ones. Maybe you just need to trust the Lord that He knows what's best. If God is good, and He is, if God is sovereign, and He is, then trust in His providential care. Just allow Him to stretch you. Allow Him to mature you. Allow Him to move you from one level of maturity to another. Allow Him to mold you into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, friends, we live in difficult situations. And at times we blame the virus, blame the government, blame others because of our situation. Who's sovereign? God is. He either allows it or orchestrates it. Diba? So when we complain, who are we complaining to? God. Here we see David going through some series of struggling times, giving up, trusting the Lord. Anong sabi ng kanta? God is too good. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. And so if you can't see His plan, if you can't trace His hand, if you don't understand, trust His heart. Look at David's conversation with God again. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Because of this, what we see is David sharing what he learned with others. Look at verse 3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. David has learned to humble himself before the Lord. David learned to hush and be still and trust in the Lord. Now, he has learned to hope in the Lord. Now he's teaching others to do the same. Oh, Israel. Oh, God's people. Oh, Christian. Oh, GCF East. Oh, Irwin. Oh, dear one who's struggling with pride. Oh, dear one who is complaining to God about the difficult situation that you are in. Oh, precious child who is having a hard time understanding why I'm going through this. Here's the instruction for you. Hope. Hope in the Lord. Here is what you need to do. Hope in the Lord. The only way to pursue and go through the flattening and the leveling and the quietening of our hearts is to put our hope in the Lord. The only way to be like a child still on his mother's lap. The only way to not be self-absorbed and arrogant and proud and not look down on others or not blame others, even this virus or the government. The only way for you to not meddle with things that are only for God is to hope in Him. Hope in the Lord also means to trust in the Lord. Hoping in the Lord is often tied with waiting on the Lord. And dear ones, did you see the wisdom of Scripture here? The wisdom of David, the genius of Scripture. Why did I say so? Pwede namang sabihin ni David sa verse 1, Oh Israel, hope in the Lord. Yeah, that would be well as well, di ba? But if David started with, Oh Israel, trust in the Lord, somebody may say, I already trust the Lord. I know that already. But now, with hearts exposed, plowed up, and leveled, as he says, hope in the Lord, we are now more receptive. Did you see? David calls on God's memorial name. Hope in Yahweh. Yahweh, the self-existing God, the all-sufficient God, the one who is faithful. Trust in Yahweh. He is always and will forever exist. Therefore, you can trust Him. He is always and will forever be faithful. Therefore, you can trust Him. Kahit masakit. Even though we can't understand. Hope in God and no one else. Did you know that Jesus Himself is the perfect personification of this composed and quieted soul? The one who is the author and perfecter of our faith, diba? In the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He hoped in the Lord. He submitted to the Lord. When he was being reviled, being mocked, and was physically abused, did he complain? He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly and righteously. Jesus hoped in the Lord. He did not need to protect himself nor his reputation. He left it to the Lord. Jesus Christ, the one we celebrate, the one we love, the one who has first loved us, the one who died for you, dear one, is the perfect and beautiful personification of a weaned and submissive child to a very loving and wise parent. Hope in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And as we wait, up to what extent? Look at verse 3 again. From this time forth and forevermore. Meaning we can trust Him until the end. Meaning He will never leave us nor forsake us. How are your hearts right now? Are there so many noise from within? Tapos maingay pa yung kapaligiran? It's gonna be chaos. We need someone outside of us We need someone who loves us. We need someone who is powerful, who is sovereign, and who is loving. These are things that we need to put to heart. Sabi ni Charles Spurgeon, very short to read, takes a lifetime to learn. Because we are still learning to trust Him. Right? And let us go back to His word, dear one. We can trust Him. And if you find yourself kicking and complaining and just looking at God with your haughty eyes, thinking that you can do better with your situation, friends, the exhortation for us is this. Humble yourself before the Lord. Hush and submit to the Lord. Put your hope and trust in the Lord. That are ways to quiet down our restless souls. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to go back to this beautiful song. We thank you, Lord, for how it has pierced our hearts. We praise you, Lord, for how we know that we still find ourselves, Lord, proud, giving you the eye, especially when you take things from us, take people from us, or change our situation. Forgive us, Lord, for being so arrogant, thinking that we know better. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you have given us your promises, and therefore we can just go to your word when we demand explanations. In these trying times, oh God, when there are restrictions, quarantine, contact tracing, Lord, we pray that you would quiet down our souls. May we be found, Lord, among a people, among a nation, among mankind, Lord, in this situation, be people who are full of faith, not fear. People who submit to your will. We desire, Lord, to glorify you, even in our struggles. We thank you that we have you, the timeless God, the one who is beginning and end, the one who is loving, the one who is just, the one who never sleeps nor slumber, the one who cares. And so therefore, O God, show us things that we need to trust you with. Show us, Lord, situations that we need to be humble about, and teach us, Lord, to love your word as we stand still and get to know you better. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We praise you for this church. May we be found as a group of people loving you, loving others, and living out the gospel. As we depart this place temporarily, we pray that you would bestow upon us your blessing. May God, who is infinitely, faithfully, and eternally good, find each one of us humble before Him, still before Him, submitting and hoping in Him, because we know, even though we don't understand at times, He is in control. He is God, and we are His. May God bless our steps. May we be the gospel that people read. May we walk in a manner worthy of that sacrifice, worthy of that calling, until He comes back for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. God bless you. You're all dismissed. Ingat kayo sa inyong pag-uwi.